And we're here on the K&M Podcast, Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Michael here at DetroitLions.com, talking Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. Everything Lions football.
What a week. Right. What a week since our last podcast. I thought it was going to be the end of the first round of free agency, you know, which the big signings. We'd go into a little draft talk today. And everything just blew up in the last 24 to 48 hours. It was changes the Lions' trajectory going forward. And for those who have been in a shell, Cam Sutton got in a little trouble. I'm not going to get involved with what happened and where he's at and what all that. I don't have anything to do with that. But the thing we do have to talk about is the Lions, 24 hours later after this story comes out, that he was wanted by police down in Florida, he was cut. And when you cut a player, Mike, under contract, there's a lot of things that go on with it. And this was the second year of a three-year deal that Cam Sutton signed.
Right, and now the Lions have to, you know, after feeling like they're in a position where they have done everything in free agency and they had, now they got one, you know, semi-big hole to replace, and that's the quarterback. But I'm sorry, the cornerback.
Yeah, last week or going into this week, you would have thought, okay, you might have a few little pieces left of free agency with not big contracts, but pick up some things, and you could go into the draft and draft any position when your time comes. Now you lost the starter. No matter what you guys think of Cam Sutton, his skills, ability, how he played last year, that's for you to interpret. But what we do know is you lost your starting cornerback this week. And for the time being, his cap allotment is still on the books, and you had to pick that up. So you can't replace his money right now. Now, there might be in the future some time for the Lions to get that money back, but as of today, they haven't got it back yet. They just took the cap hit.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens, right.
I'm pretty sure there's some sort of relief in there. But we'll see. And, you know, I don't care about his money.
No, but I do care about the Lions' ability to go out what's left of free agency and have money left to go get another free agent to take his place. And I think that they had enough money under the cap even before this to pick up a smaller price free agent or a moderate free agent. So I'm not worried about that. But what I am worried about, Mike, this changes everything. And this is why I hate talking about it. If this thing happens before free agency starts, that changes your whole free agency approach. Now you have to go down and pick up what's left in free agency at the cornerback position and hope to find one, or you got to make that your priority in the draft. And that's just – it just changes things. I'm not down on the offseason. I think the offseason's gone great. But it's just a little downer at this point. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. It's a downer. But, you know, I'm looking at some of the moves the Lions made, and I don't think there's any one of them that's been affected negatively by this. Now, what we're talking about is getting another starting cornerback, but to date, the other stuff they've done, including adding two defensive backs, I think they're in good shape. I don't think they have to redo anything.
Right. Now, there are some –
that makes sense.
Yeah, and there are some names out there still. Gilmore from Dallas is still out there, 34 years old. Patrick Peterson, he's about the same age, 34 years old. Xavier Howard, who was cut by Miami, is still out there. He's a younger player, but, you know, skill level, I don't know where he's at. So there are guys out there, and right now you're not – the big money free agency is pretty much over. So what do you think about – you want to pick up a veteran, Mike, or you just rather go into the draft and pick up a young guy?
Both, really. I think getting drafting a young linebacker – or, I'm sorry, young defensive back. You can get me in the wrong position here. I'm looking at my notes. I think drafting a young player, I think that was probably always in the plan. But you know, at the right position in the right place. And cornerback is, I think, if not a priority position for the Detroit Lions in the draft, it's certainly close.
Yeah. Before this week, I would have said, if all things being equal with the first-round pick, I would have liked to seen a edge rusher on the other side of Hutchinson, if you could find one at 29. But now, going into – look, you know what? I'm about to change my mid sentence. I was going to say go for a cornerback, not a starter, but it's so hard for rookies to start, especially rookies at the end of the first round and beyond to start. You get starters, you know, second and third round, and sometimes a fourth rounder, like Seattle did a few years ago. But basically, if you're not a high first rounder, you know, starting immediately is real hard. And I just feel, Mike, that the cornerback you're going to get at the end of the first round is the same guy as the cornerback you're going to get into the second round. So I don't think you should change your plans at all. Just go ahead and get that pass rusher in the first round or the offensive guard tackle in the first round and then move on.
I can't imagine Brad Holmes, Kenny, taking an interior cornerback just to fill a slot. I mean, I don't think he would do that under any circumstance, no matter how it occurred. I think he'd go at this stage with what they've done and what they have, you know, and drafting, you know, 29th overall in the first round. It's, to me, best player available. I mean, to a degree, but best player available. And I think they were in a terrific position to do that and you know, execute their draft board that way. And I think they still are.
Yeah. Now, here's a question I want to ask you about the issue. Like I said, I don't talk about Cam Sutton's problem, but just the issue as it relates to the team. Does this become a downer for the team? Because, you know, Mike, when I first heard that, it reminded me of after the offseason of the 91 season after they went to the NFC Championship game. They just had a string of bad luck. Things were happening. Now, not as bad as what happened in 91 where you had a guy die in his yard, you know, cutting the grass and, you know, injuries the year before with the tackle and
Mike
the guard,
Utley.
Mike Utley, they've had bad, and the coach dies during the year, so things bad happen that year. But it's just that this seems like an unforced error, and how does that affect the mentality of a football team?
I don't think it does.
You don't think it does in the locker room?
No, I don't think it does at all. And then, first of all, they're not going to see him again. He's gone. And so it's not something like they have to, you know, tread lightly in the locker room because he's not there. He's gone.
Yeah.
And it'll be, when you really look at it, you start the off-season workout program, it's another, you know, 6 or 7, 8 weeks away before they begin that. So it's – and here's the other thing, Kenny. If there's any sport that players are used to change, it's football, pro football. They're used to guys starting on Sunday, being cut on Monday. It just happens. And so from that regard, I'm not saying he hasn't developed friends, particularly in the cornerback group, but I don't think it's anything that the guys are just going to, oh my God, I can't play. I just can't go through anymore because he's gone. No, I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, but the interesting part about it, I agree with you saying that, you know, they're accustomed to, like you said, it's a week-to-week business basically in NFL.
Yep.
But that means Kirby Joseph is going to be your senior D-back in the backfield when you come back in, you know, in the spring for the workouts. He's your senior guy, and he's a third-year guy. They have Brian Branch is a second-year guy. Melifano might be a fourth-year, but he only started last year, so I'm counting Kirby Joseph the senior guy. It's amazing the turnover of that defensive backfield in a year.
What about Emmanuel Mosley?
If we can get him on the field. I mean, hey, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup right now, so I want to see him on the field first, and then I'll know what he's got left. And coming back from two ACLs, we can't be sure what he's got left.
No, but when we're talking about relationships and all that, that's a little different thing. But, you know, he hasn't been – look, well, he's been here a season, a full
right.
season. But he hasn't played.
But he's been in the locker room, and he didn't go home after he got hurt, which I agree.
Right.
Which I knew that's why he was coming back this year. I knew when the season ended, I said, if he stayed, they either like him a lot or he likes it here a lot, and he's if everything else is right, he'll be back, and he's back. So I'm happy.
And he's
for
a good player. And he's a good
he was
player.
A good player. Yeah. So I just want to.
Yeah. I mean, he was a regular starter for
San Francisco. Yeah. Just
when he got hurt.
Get rid of the health bug, and then we'll be back with it. So it just disappointed me, Mike, that that happened this offseason. I wasn't the biggest Cam Sutton guy. I don't think he was as bad as he was at the end of the year. And I don't think he's as good as when we signed him, where everybody thought he was a number one corner. But I thought a veteran guy to put out there was good for the defense. But, you know, now you have to move on and just go with what you got to go. The defense should be better this year to help the D-back field?
Well, I think like adding Carlton Davis, I think, who played with Tampa Bay for 6 years and really a starter when healthy all 6 years, I think that's an upgrade. I think the Lions are better off there at that position than they were.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're better off there. I think they're not as good a safety as the projected lineup of last year first game, because I thought Gardner Johnson, outside of his mouth, which he runs constantly, was a good player. I thought he was a very good player, but we never got to see it. He played two games, then he played in the playoffs, and maybe the last game of the year. We never got to see what he was. We just only had the memory of what he could have been. So I don't know if – can you miss something you never had?
Only if you talk yourself into it.
Right. So he's gone. I do think, Mike, when they had four picks out of the first 100, I thought they could do a lot of movement and move around. I'm starting now to rethink my draft options now. That maybe
you're talking about in the 2024 draft, the upcoming draft.
Yeah, they were at one time they had four picks in the first, 100. They traded one for Davis, the cornerback, which is fine. You trade your third round pick the farthest away third round pick for a cornerback, which is fine. Now you have three picks in the first 100. I might throw them all. I might throw two of those picks in, Mike, and move up and get me one real good first round player.
Yeah, I'd do that if you can, if you find one that you can afford and
you like.
What you want.
Right.
Hey, look, Brad Holmes has got a record of doing just that.
Yeah.
What was last year's draft?
But he's had for the last three drafts a lot of draft capital. This is the first draft where he's just got his picks. I think since the first
draft picks too now in that trade.
Yeah, well, he's got extra picks, but he lost the fourth. They don't have a fourth round pick, so it pretty much evens out. But this is the first draft in three drafts. He hasn't had two first round picks to work with, and he'll be basically moving around with his normal picks. I want to see how he operates that. Does he go into giving up picks next year? Does he go into moving back, moving forward? It's no telling what he'll do. He has a plan, and I don't know what it is, but it's successful so far, so I'm with him.
I don't think that really you can look at the first three drafts and look. There's always, no matter what you draft, there's always something you can look at and say, I'd rather have that. That's the way it is. There's so many position groups in pro football that there's always somebody else on another position that you would rather have than the guy who got drafted. It's just the way it is. But I think Brad Holmes, just like you talked about, his resourcefulness and all that. And I think he'll use that to his advantage again. And he's made contacts over the years of the people, other franchises that he can draft with and be comfortable with and make moves. And if one or two things will happen, there'll either be a player there that he wants and he'll draft him, or he'll move out of that slot and either move up or down, whatever. To get somebody that he likes better. He's got a proven record of that. He's been successful with it, too.
Right. Now, there are a couple of things. The reason why we're talking draft and these three picks and what they'll do with them, and they don't have any major need right now, the cornerback excluded to go get, is the couple of signings happened in the last week. And I should have did this earlier, but let's get to it now. Donovan Peoples-Jones signs back at wide receiver 1 year. What are you on about?
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, Cass, you can't stop the mighty Cass Tech. Donovan Peoples-Jones. Okay. I thought Donovan Peoples-Jones was a good player. He had an 800-yard year in Cleveland. He came in halfway through the season, and he got in to fit in, and they didn't really need him. He was more of an insurance thing in case they had any other injuries. But, the other guys played well at the time. And he got a few plays in. He made a couple catches. He was the punt returner when Khalif Raymond got hurt, so he was serviceable. But I don't think he showed his true worth yet, and I think this year you're going to see it because, as we speak, Mr. Reynolds is not coming back at wide receiver. Are you surprised they're not bringing Josh Reynolds back?
Well, if they haven't, I'm them surprised, I'm not shocked, because I thought it was a possibility, but why wouldn't you be?
Well, 30 years old, he's going to want some money. You got Donovan Peoples on basically a minimum deal. And to me, I think they can do the same thing if you give them equal opportunity. I think Josh Reynolds is okay, but I'm a non-forgiver. No, he played good. But he remember how we got him. We got him because Tennessee cut him. And then we signed him again. I mean, it's not like you're losing out on Jerry Rice. He's a good player, but there are a bunch of good players out there. He's not irreplaceable to me.
No, I don't think he's replaceable. I don't think he's irreplaceable, but he's a player who has a niche there, and he's been a good player, a good reliable player, except for the two drops they had in the playoff game. And that's kind of stuck with him, I think.
Right.
It seems that way.
And like I said, Mike, that might be opening up to where they take a receiver in the first round. Maybe that's why they're not signing any back.
I think a wide receiver was in the mix right from the beginning. I think wide receiver, cornerback, and defensive line, I thought, probably were the three areas that you were looking at. And defensive line, they solved that in free agency. I think they're still open there for a cornerback.
And the reason why you didn't say offensive lineman as one of the top needs is because we had a big signing over the week. Mike, I'm going to tell you this. Funny thing, NFL Network's been showing old games this week. Matter of fact, if you guys on Friday as we record this, they got the Lion-Packer game today coming on. I don't know which year. I think it was the Hail Mary game with Aaron Rodgers on the Thursday night. Anyway, I think that's the game today, so watch it. But they had a game on yesterday, on Thursday. Baltimore Ravens, Detroit Lions, 2021, the 66-yard field goal game, right?
Yes.
Who was playing guard for the Ravens in that game was the guy the Lions signed this week, Kevin Zeidler.
Kevin Zeidler, yeah.
He was playing guard in that game, and I was watching him. He was playing good, too. Lions signed him, 34 years old. He's filling the spot. He's going to be the right guard. And I thought it was a steal to get him for a one-year deal, pro bowler. Good player. He fits right in the style of that line. And that was a good pickup by Brad Holmes by waiting a week, waiting a few days, not getting in on that initial when every guard was getting $17 million a year.
Yeah, and one thing about him, he was drafted in 2012, 12th overall, and he's been a starter every single season for the last 12 years with four teams. And I mean, when I say starter, I think he's missed 9 games or whatever it is.
No.
10 or 12-year career.
No.
Something like that.
182 games. I think it was 181 starts.
Right. But he's missed he's missed 4 games in the last 2 years alone.
Yeah.
But he had one season where he missed 4 games. But he's been reliable, and he's a 6'4", 340. And he was talking about looking at the Lions films and all of that. And he said one of the things he really liked was the way they run the ball. You just mentioned that they run the ball, and that's you can just tell his eyes light up when he's out there on that.
Right, and that helps out because that gives you you don't have to prioritize guard. Even though if a guard to me one of the top guys is there, they might go for him, but you don't have to, which makes it all the better. But I tell you where I'm really worried, and they got to find somebody for depth is that backup tackle. I haven't heard about them bringing Matt Nelson back. Skipper signed, but Skipper's a novelty act. He's not, like I said, he's not a guy you want to put in tackle for any length of time, because if you watch that playoff game with San Francisco, they put him on Bosa at the second half of that game a couple of times, and it was carnage. So he's not that guy. He's a good, novelty guy to bring in and do a few things, move around. Everybody likes him. But they got to address, to me, the backup tackle sometime before the season starts.
Well, in some way too, you can always get it from a player, from a team that releases a player too, because players are going to get released now between now and June 1st or whatever the date is.
Right.
There'll be players out there available. I mean, good players too.
Yeah.
Players who all of a sudden don't fit a team's scheme, don't fit their payroll.
I'd like to see a guard tackle if there's one out there in the draft somewhere that could play either and just as the backup. You're not asking them to start this year. A developmental guy. That would be a 2-for-1 for me. You get a guy that could back up all. Sorsdale kind of might be that guy. I guess right now, if you had the backup tackles in Sorsdale?
I think right now it would be,
yeah.
I think they'd want somebody with a little more experience because, he was a tackle in college. He never played guard.
Right.
This was a new thing for him.
Where do you see his position being eventually? You think he's just going to be a guard, or you think he's just going to be a tackle, or he's going to be a floater guy?
I think he'd be, until proven otherwise, he'd be a swing player in between guard and tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'd have a position. But I think that's also characteristic of most of the backup offensive linemen. They need to learn more than one position.
Yeah, and I give him credit, Mike, because he got thrown in a couple situations a rookie might have melted in. He didn't soar, but he didn't sink. So I thought he did good.
and a good guy, good team guy, yeah, too. He's really upbeat. He fits in well with guys. And whatever that's worth, I think that's worth something.
Right. All right, so that boils down to now we're in the draft preparation. So all the podcasts from this point on, Mike, we're talking draft because that's what's happening. Pro days happen. I'll give you some information. Brad Holmes was at the Alabama Pro Day this week. I don't know if that means anything, but the Ohio State Pro Day was the same day, and he wasn't there. So evidently the prospects at Alabama were more interesting to him. He's down there. There's a couple of guys down there, Kool-Aid McKinstry and a couple other guys that are from Alabama. DJ Turner, the defensive end that I love, but you're gonna have to move up for him. So there were prospects down there, and he was there. I don't know where they're gonna go. I don't know what's gonna happen, but it's gonna be a fun time. I don't think this draft to me has the star power that other drafts have had. I don't know how you see about it. It's a quarterback draft. They got names, but since we're not in the quarterback market, I don't care. I care about the other players, and it's okay. I don't see this as a great draft so far.
Well, up on the top, I think once you get past the three or four quarterbacks and a couple of wide receivers, it's a little. But there's a lot of depth there that the wide receiver and I think the cornerback. But I don't know if it's when I say depth, I don't know if it's how deep it's going to go in this draft.
Yeah, but you may have to
act quickly to get the player you want.
That's what I'm saying. You may have to move up. Are there any players on the team that could be up for trades that are actually current players? The Lions don't have that much depth that they can be trading guys away that are good, but is there any player? There's one player I think that might get you something back in trade, and I'm just wondering if you're thinking the same guy I'm talking about, that you might end up trading a guy for some picks.
No, I haven't thought about that at all. Honestly.
I think Rodriguez could get you something. If he's not going to start and you got, you know, other backers, like you got Campbell and you have
Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think he could fetch you something in a trade.
He made a nice play in the playoffs.
He did, an interception, yeah. And he was good last year for, you know, what he was to do as a rookie. And I just think that he's a player to look out for to move if you wanted to move a player. I don't think they're going to move him, but I can't think of any other players out there, any positions where they have an abundance of players that they can, you know, get picks for that are ready to start. Maybe a lineman, Pascal or something, but I think they like him. So I don't think there are any other players out there. I think your depth is built for your team.
I think if anything we're talking about here is that when you start to make your roster, you know, for the, you know, the last cuts and all that, that's when you'll start dealing a player.
Right.
I don't think they have designs on dealing anybody right now, but you'll just see how it develops.
Because
you might have two guys at the same position.
Right.
You don't need them both.
Yeah, well, there's always two points where you deal players. One right before the draft, and the other right before the final cuts or after the final cuts.
There's one other, too, and that's the I'll go with what you have.
Go with what I got. Trust me, go with what I got.
I will.
All right, Mike, that's going to be it for this week. We'll start our draft preparation. We're going to have guests on every week. I talked to Lo Brown. He's coming on with us one day because he loves the podcast, so he's going to come on. We're going to talk with him. I got a couple other draft guys we're going to be talking to. And then I'm going to line up this time. We're going to line up a couple of draft prospects to talk to. We're going to grill some guys ourselves, all right?
Well, how many of them are from KKS Tech?
Look, they all come from there. But anyway, there'll be a couple we'll get on. Matter of fact, I'm going to get Peoples Jones on, too. I'm going to get him on one of these podcasts because you got to hear from the Cass Tech man and find out what's going on with him. And I'm a big Peoples Jones fan. That's all I got to say. And I think you'll see it this year. Just mark my words.
You're the one.
All right, Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com. Kim Brown from WGR Radio. Join us again next week and hope there's no major issues outside the field next week, Mike, that we have to talk about. We can just talk about football.
Well, this is one in a long time, so I don't imagine another one.
And I hope it's not a long time before we have another one. All right, Mike, talk to you later. That's Michael Hare and Ken Brown.